Eventually, he decides to get away. And as many pastors and people who work in the church have to do from time to time, and even educators and other professionals, he goes and decides to take a sabbatical. A sabbatical is just a time to get away, to recharge the batteries, to renew himself. And so he goes to the Holy Land. He goes to the birthplace of Jesus, where he hopes to find some kind of spiritual nourishment, spiritual renewal that would rekindle his faith. Remember, he's beaten, he's worn out, he's wounded. Today we'd say he's burnt out. And then on Christmas Day in 1865, he found himself in Jerusalem with crowds of other pilgrims that had come there from around the world. Now, you know, even today, when you go to Jerusalem on Christmas Eve, there's a lot of activity. The Christians, the Palestinian Christians, and Christians from around the world come and they celebrate Christmas in Jerusalem. Hundreds, perhaps millions of people. And they did it back then too. So he wants to get away from all the crowd. So he borrows a horse and he rides out into the countryside to be alone, to be just with God, to enjoy the peace and the quiet. About sunset, he finds himself near the little town of Bethlehem. Under a clear but chilly December sky, he sees the stars, one by one, start to pop through the darkness. And he joins a group of pilgrims that goes on into town, or actually out to the fields, where it's believed that the angels proclaimed Jesus' holy birth. Later that night, he goes to church. He goes to a worship service. And while there, he feels like he can almost hear the voices of the heavenly, the angelic choir that announced Jesus' birth, proclaiming the good news of that holy birth. He senses God's presence, and he feels God's touch, and he feels like he's received a gift. And then that moment, he feels that God has touched him in a special way and renewed his faith. Well, for years after that experience, Phillips Brooks tried in sermon after sermon after sermon to put that experience into a sermon, a message for God's people. But no matter how he tried, it never really connected. About 3 years later, he sits down and he writes a poem with the images still fresh and vivid in his mind of what he experienced in Bethlehem 3 years prior. He wrote this poem that speaks about the incredible gift that God gave him and that God gave everyone, the Savior of the world. And yet so often that gift goes almost totally unnoticed by the very people that God came to save. Here's the gift that Phillips Brooks gave us. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above, while mortals sleep and angels keep their watch of loving, of wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. But it's the third verse that really captures best what I'm trying to share with you this morning. Verse 3, how silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, and I might add noise and loudness and busyness, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. Phillips Brooks' life is almost like a parable of how God works in the world with all its busyness and worldliness and noise and headlines. But what God is doing to impact the world might just be hidden. Phillips Brooks, you see, later became the bishop of the Episcopal Church in Massachusetts and later the spiritual leader at Harvard University. But these aren't the reasons that Phillips Brooks is famous today. It was because he was broken. It was because he was burned out. It was because that he was at the end of himself, spiritually empty, when in the silence of a December evening on Christmas Eve, God spoke to him and restored his faith. And out of that experience, the whole world received the gift of this beloved carol. A song that wasn't composed when life was going well and all was good with the writer, but when the servant of God was broken. Phillips Brooks received a gift that only God could give. What Brooks saw that night in Bethlehem was that the answer for the sins of the world didn't come with a big, loud, noisy news headline of Jesus' day. No, no. The answer came silently as mortals slept. Ultimately, what spoke to Brooks' heart was not the loud, noisy, busy world of the American Reconstruction after the Civil War, but was what God gave Brooks in the form of spiritual healing that restored his faith in silence and, by the way, worshiping with God's people. And there is a message in here for us today, people of Bethel. Sometimes the most important answers we're seeking, the things that we need the most, the things that speak to our souls and actually meet the need that we carry around, are not found in the big and the loud and the noisy, busy world around us. No, no. The gift we need from God that can renew and refresh our lives and our spirits sometimes comes in those moments of silence and stillness and quietness. Sometimes God speaks to us through the silence. And that's very hard to find this time of year, isn't it? Let me suggest that during this Advent and Christmas season, that we turn off our cell phones a little more frequently. That we unplug the iPod or shut off the Bluetooth. Turn off our radios and TVs. And listen. And make some time for those precious moments when God can get a word in edgewise. Where God can speak to us. Where God can speak to our hearts. No doubt we live in a very stressful world. Stress is all around us. As your pastor, there's more than a little stress in my life, especially in the high holy days like Christmas and Easter as we prepare for these wonderful services and whatnot. So many things need doing. There are people who are in the hospital that need visiting. There are sermons to write. There are programs to oversee. There are many, many things that need doing. Major decisions have to be made. It seems like every year, it seems like there's one or two major decisions that have to be made through the working together with you, the laity, and with the staff. But what's kept me grounded through all of this, and I'm not saying it's a daily thing, but it sure does help, is carving out time to be still and know, to be quiet and alone with God, even if it's just for 15, 20 minutes or an hour a day. It's so helpful. And I encourage you, especially in Advent and Christmas, to do likewise. It's the final verse in this beloved carol that really speaks to my heart. And it's really a prayer. And I hope it's the prayer of your heart today. And I'd like for all of us to say this together. The last verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let that be the prayer of your heart today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this wonderful carol that was written so long ago but still speaks to our hearts today. And hopefully, Lord, we have seen and heard and read this carol and prayer with fresh eyes. And Lord, even though we have already may have already asked you into our lives, there's so much that happens in our lives and so many things that zap our energy and divert our attention. Things that hurt us, things that cause us to falter in our faith. Lord, even if we're already following you and made a decision to follow you, there are those moments, Lord, in our lives where we have to say again and again, come, Lord Jesus, come abide with me, cast out my sin, enter in anew and afresh, cleanse me, renew me. Lord, if we are someone who has never asked you to come into our hearts to abide, we know, Lord, that you still seek the least, the last, and the lost. You still speak, you still seek, you still heal, you still cleanse, you still come. Lord, you know us by name, and you know our hearts. And we want to draw into your family. And this is the first time that we have desired to invite you in. We come with that prayer, O come, Emmanuel. Enter in and abide with me. Lord, we thank you that you love us too much to let us go. Open our hearts that we might receive your incredible gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, again this Christmas. The one that was willing to give it all for us. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our soon coming Savior. Amen. Amen. Joyce?